You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hopefully you are having a great start to your Monday. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, Rabbit Rabbit. I'm Brian Noonan. It is June 1st, so we are off to the races. Another week of dissecting what's happening in and around Wisconsin and the rest of the world. Frank is here, our executive producer. Parker's here. Everyone, have a nice weekend.
Yes, of course. You, Brian, because I know you were very busy this weekend with
very busy.
And showers and all sorts of things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the shower went very well. Everybody was happy. The weather was nice. It's just, so no rest for the weary. We just keep going like everybody else. So
that's right. You know, that's right.
The weekends are not as they're sold as being restful and a time to recuperate.
In fact, sometimes I feel like I'm busier on the weekends because I'm trying to do everything that I missed out on.
Trying to catch up.
Yes,
yep.
That's exactly.
Well, it's you and I, Jamie. We have adult responsibilities.
We do.
Frank is out golfing.
Yawning, golfing.
Yawning, golfing, sitting in the dark. Parker's getting suntanned on the water.
I played 18 yesterday. I'm tired.
Ooh, very
played
nice.
18.
How'd you do?
Like, if you told me you played 72 holes, I'd go, oh, man, you must be exhausted.
I would be exhausted.
That would be a lot.
One round, and you're like, oh, I'm so beat up. I can't believe it.
I am. It's a lot. It takes a lot out of you.
Did you cart or walk?
I think that's irrelevant.
I don't. Oh, I think it's very pertinent
like
to the 18
man
question.
Took a
yeah.
cart.
Yeah. It's, I had to drive around beautiful landscape for 4 hours. Exhausting.
Beautiful to stretch.
The very long pause tells me that you probably carted. Just saying.
Well, there's no doubt he carted. Come on. Let's.
Who wants to walk?
It's a lot.
It's part of the experience.
Do you walk? Would you?
I walk. Yeah.
Wow.
Pull cart or carry your bag.
Carry. I'm young, guys.
What?
I'm young.
Parker, Frank? Let me tell you something. If you and I ever go golfing,
yeah,
I'm not walking with you.
Oh God.
You can sit in the cart.
I'll sit in the cart.
Make him run alongside it. That's what you can do. You can make him run
along. Jog with
that's
my,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
My clubs
now, do you have
on
one of
back.
Those bags that then when you set it down, stands up by itself?
Yeah, it's got the legs.
The little legs pop out?
Oh. I do not.
You don't? Okay,
Frank,
well, that's
Frank
why
Frank
you
Frank probably has one of those Rodney Dangerfield bags with a TV and a
with
tapper.
With a TV and the remote?
Yeah.
The stereo. It
weighs like 7,000 pounds. That's when I caddied. Those bags were all the rage. Those giant, fully leather, like the bag, empty bag, weighed about 20 pounds. Then you add all the clubs. It was like, oh, and we'd carry two of them.
It's amazing in modern day culture. Golf is like the one sport where they still, and I get it. The clubs are lighter. They've been able to do a lot of things, but it's still the one sport where you haven't been able to make a ton of advancements in equipment, right? For obvious reasons. But, you know, at some point you think they would be able to figure out how to make lighter bags and make it quite not so heavy.
The bags now are very light. It's, that's why guys who, the cart guy, if I golfed, I would take a cart too.
I was gonna say,
but then I wouldn't complain that I was so tired. I'd be like, oh, I was out for a Sunday drive, and then I got out occasionally and swung a really light stick at a tiny ball. Then I got back in. I had some beers. I had a hot dog at the turn, and I just kept going. Oh, it was.
I'm
I had to rake
this.
A trap.
I'm gonna remember this.
Well, one, you're never getting me out on the course.
So
why not?
Because I don't like to golf.
I find it very boring. I've tried to golf. I'm sorry. And I get it. The appeal for a lot of people. I've tried doing it. It's really, I don't know. It's very boring for me. It's just not
just
enough
really
action.
I'm really bad at it.
I'm not great at it.
Well, everybody is.
I'm really bad. Yeah, but I don't want to spend 4 hours doing something I'm really bad at.
Plus, every time I go golfing, I usually go with other people and they make fun of me because I need like the shortest clubs possible. And it's just not worth like the hassle of being made fun of for the entire trip. Like using kids' gloves.
Maybe you need better friends.
That could be too.
I got made fun of all day yesterday. Yeah, that's part of the experience.
Alicia's chiming in on our YouTube chat this morning. She says, my extreme dislike of golf started when hundreds of golf balls fell on my head when I worked for FedEx and I had three golf courses on my route. Yeah, no, that doesn't sound fun.
Wow.
That doesn't sound fun. That's nice. So I have to ask though, Frank, how was the day on the course for you personally?
Not great. Not great.
Was this your first time out this season?
Yes.
Okay.
First time out. I broke 500. I can promise you that.
Okay. Nice. Well, that's not
But it was one
horrible.
Of those, like, I am not keeping score because I haven't swung a club in months.
Okay, fair.
And I got up to the tee box, first hole, and my foot slipped on the drive. And I saw
that's
my
cause
ball
because it was asleep from pushing your pedal in your
yes.
golf cart. Okay.
And the ball just sailed over. And I was like, whatever. I'll hit one more.
Yeah. Mulligan.
Mulligan.
Mulligan, yeah.
And this one, I topped it, and it skipped into a pile of rocks with water in it.
Good God.
To which everybody laughed, and I said, well, I'm not hitting another one.
I'm just going to throw it.
I said, I'll drop.
Yeah.
Use your foot wedge.
And then the next hole, I hit one relatively straight, and then it hit a hill and bounced into the forest. And
the forest.
I was about done right there. But then
was that your second hole?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then my nephew goes, because he came over yesterday and my wife's like, I heard you were good at golf. And my nephew goes, hey, he heated up like hole 16.
Wow.
Just had to warm up a little, yeah.
Just had to warm up a little bit. But yeah. I got a birdie yesterday, so I will take it.
There you go. Okay.
Well, no wonder you're exhausted. You had to take 178 strokes.
Basically.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah.
See, I don't want to spend my day doing something that I have no enjoyment of. Because I golfed for a while. I caddied, then I would golf occasionally. And I finally got rid of my clubs last year.
Did you really?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, one they were like 30 years old, so they were not they were bad. Plus, they were too short for me. They're just the whole thing, and I was like, I'm not going golfing anymore.
Was it because you don't enjoy it, or is it because
yes.
you just weren't good at it?
Both.
Which again, nobody's good at it. Most
know.
90, what would you say, Parker? 95% of golfers are not good.
It's a growing percentage because a lot of people think that they can golf, but they can't. And that's
right.
a bigger demographic
was,
of people who golf now. It's at least 95%.
I didn't have the time to or the desire to commit to at least being okay. And if I was just okay, that would have been fine. But I was so far below okay that it was frustrating. There was no fun in it for me.
Well, because you have to constantly play.
Right.
And it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, yeah. a lot of time. It's a lot of effort. It's not a thing that I desired to be good at. But I thought I should be... I just wanted to be average. I didn't want to be good. I just wanted to be, like, not embarrassing. And it was embarrassing. So
average
I'm
tough
like,
to attain.
Well, even okay is, you know.
Still tough to attain
also,
in this
Right,
sport.
I don't have time to attain something I don't want to attain. I have no desire. I do look good in the crazy shorts, though. I admire the wardrobes of some golfers. I like the culture of hanging out in the clubhouse afterward. I enjoy a nice day out in nature, but there's so many other things I would rather do outdoors than golf. So,
Parker, did you golf this weekend?
I did.
How did you do? Was it better than Frank's outing?
Yes.
I shot 48 on a par 3, which
one hole?
Not yeah.
That's really bad.
no, it 48 was. Strokes. I was doing okay until the ninth hole, when I nearly hit a worker in the back of the head.
Oh.
Okay, I didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nearly doesn't that, count.
Nearly. He was in a cart and he was driving away from us. I'm like, eh.
He's he was pretty, taunting you. He was a target.
It's all right.
Like,
just,
he's pretty far over. Just, it'll be okay.
Just hit the top of his cart. It was no big deal.
It was like a heat-seeking missile, that thing. That ball.
Wow.
I did not hit one that far right all day. And then all of a sudden, as soon as there was something that I could not hit, I almost hit it. Yeah. I hit a tree after that. That was nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
See,
yeah, I hit a lot of those yesterday.
Yeah.
I had a hole in one once, so I'm done. I retired on top.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I went out, boom.
John.
Hole in one, had a lot of witnesses, and I'm done.
John's chiming in on our YouTube chat this morning. Problem for golf is I do it once a year and sometimes play better than friends who have played for years. It's yuppie golf, in my opinion. And then changing that, saying yuppie darts. So there we go. Thank you very much for the comment this morning, John. Golf was just never one of those things I got into. I had friends on golf teams, and my husband's cousin has girls, three daughters who all went to college on golf scholarships.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, when you've got that, and they compete, in college. And so when
those
you've got.
Those are never people I want to go
right,
on a golf
no,
course with.
No, that's exactly. So those are usually the people I play with because those are the people in our, you know, orbit who really love. No, just not. I'll drive the cart. I'll pretend that I'm your caddy for the day, except I'm not lifting your clubs. That's about the extent of my golf experience. And I can have a drink afterwards.
You could be the cart girl getting the beers and stuff.
There we go. See? I enjoy doing that.
Drive the cart with the cooler
on the back. That's right. That's right.
That would be fun. And you're always see, that person is always appreciated. People can't
that's
wait
right.
to see True. Them to yeah. see them drive up. Oh, and they the drunk middle-aged men are trying to are tipping heavy to the 20-some-year-old
right.
cart girl
yes.
to woo her.
That's always a tough scene to watch.
Yeah, that's never a good
it's
one.
It's really hard to watch.
Cringe, as the kids like to say.
Cringe.
Right, it is
very cringe.
Cringe.
Yes. Very cringe.
Much that
cringe.
Is the apex of cringe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, dude, she's like probably younger than your daughter. You creep.
See, but is it one of those things that what happens on the golf course stays on the golf course? Is it kind of
no,
like
we're talking no. about it here?
Okay,
so
there
does,
we go.
No,
we didn't name
you should
names,
be publicly
though.
Shamed if that happens on the golf course. You need to be shamed.
Except his buddies are usually encouraging it. So what does that say about the whole group out there on the golf course?
Yeah, well, yeah, because then, it's usually the one idiot friend.
Usually there's
you
a, there's a couple of the guys who are like, oh, shut up.
This is entertaining for me,
Frank,
so I'm going to let it happen.
Right.
You're embarrassing yourself.
Dude, I think she's into you. Go get her number.
She was looking at you.
Oh, that was
well,
a,
yeah, because you were talking
disdain.
Right to her ordering a Miller Lite.
Right, Miller Latte.
Miller Latte.
That
Miller
was
latte.
Disdain yeah. and disgust, but, you know, what disgust, but whatever.
It's like, wait till I get back and tell the management. Tell the tea starter about this kind of thing. So, well, everybody got out. Everybody, did you do anything, Jamie, or did you just?
No, we had lots of things that we needed to catch up on, and looking through some things for Civic, going and making some plans and looking ahead a little bit at some stuff of things that all needed to get done. We were very exciting this weekend, let me tell you.
Nice. Well, we're going to talk about flash droughts. What? Yes, they could be coming to Wisconsin. Buckle up. It is Daybreak. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. 6:22 right now on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're with us. If you want to get a hold of us throughout the morning, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We've been talking about, you know, as much rain as the central part of Wisconsin got over the last couple months, the northern part up in the North Woods, not so much rain. Very a lot of drought conditions. And this story used the term flash drought, and all I could think of was watching a stream rolling along and then all of a sudden all the water being sucked out of it. I know that's not what it is, but it is. So the National Weather Service is getting nervous and they're warning about flash droughts across parts of the upper Midwest, including Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, and the Dakotas. A flash drought is a drought that develops very quickly, often caused by a combination of below normal rainfall, unusually high temperatures, strong winds, and soil conditions. So my crazy theory is not far off of what a flash drought actually is. But unlike traditional droughts that are built over months, flash droughts can develop in just a few weeks, quickly stress crops, livestock, waterways, and water supplies. So starting from, they're saying, June 6th to the 8th,
next week.
Up this weekend, could be flash droughting around here.
And it's funny because the other day I was outside and I was looking at our yard and I was like, huh, this went from a lush green spread very, very quickly to very brown. Dry, very brittle, and we haven't had to mow in a few, about a week and a half now, which for our yard, since our landlord likes his fertilizer and have it done frequently, is pretty rare. And if you look around right now, it is really dry in portions of the state. Areas in southwest Wisconsin included in this region of flash droughts, elevated risk for rapid drought development. So, if you're somebody who lives in those rural areas and you're worried about, farming or outdoor recreation, it's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks for sure with the warmer temperatures.
Yeah, and it's always... To me, I never understand how it can seem like it's raining a lot, right? And they're still so even in the place where it rains a lot, they're still saying, "Oh, we have drought conditions." I'm like, "How much water do we? How much rain do we actually need?" But I know I understand. I am not a farmer, and farmers need a lot more water than
they do.
My lawn does. Yeah. But you're right. You can usually that's how you can tell it's dry. And I don't water my lawn or any. I let God water my lawn.
Exactly.
I'm not paying extra. So, but yes, when the lawn starts, I didn't have to mow this week and it looks the same. And, it's not quite as green.
It's not really growing very much right now.
Right.
And I also...
That's when I say we could use the rain. But other than that, I'm like,
I also kind of gauge it by how often I have to water the flowers. Because when you're getting, nature's moisture and everything's falling, you don't have to go out quite as often with your watering can and make things happen. Make things, look like they're still living. In this particular case, I've been outside a couple times a day over the course of the full sun and all that a couple times a day over the last few weeks. But really at this point I worry most about the farmers. They've already got all of these rising costs with the diesel fuels. We've talked about the fertilizer costs on them going up, and now we're talking about the fact that there's a flash drought. And by the way, I just love the term. This was the first time I'd ever heard of this term.
That's a great term. I had never heard it either.
I was very excited. I was like, ooh, learning something new about weather.
Droughts.
I know. Very, very exciting.
I'm surprised that you, with all the background in weather that your family has, that this was a new term. I wouldn't imagine there would be new weather terms for you at this point.
This was a new term for me. It was not a new term for my husband. And then I said to him, I said, can you explain it to me? And he looked at me and he goes, what do I look like, a climatologist? I'm like, well, you are very smart and know about weather. So apparently,
term, you should probably most times if you know a term, you know a little bit about it. You may not know the entire thing,
and was it. He's like, I don't know that all of it. The climatologist can explain it a little bit better, but he was at least able to give me the general gist while we were talking about it. I guess too, one of the things that I would start cautioning people is, obviously we don't have any warnings out, but as camping season heats up, people start getting outside a little bit more. If we're talking about flash droughts across certain portions of the state, including the northern half that's just been in a drought for a while, as you rightly pointed out, Brian, you're going to want to be a little careful doing all of those outdoor recreational activities and the fires and camping and all of that. So
they've
just
been doing
be
that
smart.
For the last few weeks. They've been putting out those red flag warnings on the weekends. They probably figured during the week at this point, now it's going to start where people are out on vacation during the week, but before it was just the weekends where it was like, all right, keep your fires down.
And I will never forever understand burning of the garbage. That's one of those things I would never forever understand.
Is that still a thing?
In certain parts, because I know, like...
I was going to say, in most municipalities, you can't be burning garbage and burning tires and leaves. And
where we lived between Reedsburg and Baraboo and the Wisconsin Dells, we didn't have any rules about that in our little township.
Really?
So, there were weekends that it was full on, everybody burning. God. And then my favorite part of being out there is people burned when it was wet. I don't know why you would take a big pile of leaves and put them into a fire pit when it just rained.
Smoke?
And it just smolders. It just would absolutely smolder. And all of our neighbors on all sides of us would be doing it. And we've talked about the fact that I'm highly allergic to most things. Smoke is one of them. So there would be days when I would be so miserable because it would just infiltrates like everything, the whole house, it permeates. So please don't do that. don't do that to people. Plus, be careful.
Pardon my ignorance, but even, like, I guess I never thought of it. In smaller communities where these people are burning garbage, is there not garbage service? Like,
there is garbage service.
Somebody will come and pick up your garbage.
Yes, absolutely. Alicia chiming in saying she used to live in Pembine and you had to burn garbage. We rarely had garbage pickup.
Okay, so Alicia answers my question for where she used to live.
We had people come to the curb, but I think it was more of the outdoors, the leaves, the sticks, all of the yard waste that people would burn. Then I think a bag or two would get dumped in there, too.
Yeah, if you're burning old fish bones and things, no thanks. But the other stuff, I guess. All right, listen, we go from burning garbage to curfews and protests. It's all on Daybreak on the Civic Media.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, 6:35 right now. If you are listening on WMDX in Madison or on WXCO in Wausau or even in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR, thank you so much for joining us. Hey, Brian, we're about a half hour away from another edition of our multi-state text-to-win contest.
Yes, I was just going to say, this very exciting day. It's all going to start after, you'll get your first word after 7 o'clock. And then you have a chance to win great prizes every day and then a big grand prize. So be listening and we will tell you what word to text. So if you haven't gotten your Civic Media app yet, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I can't believe
you're
going to
be really
waiting.
Disappointed when you can't text in to win during this multi-state contest.
It's free. Download it now. Get ready to go and be ready for the text to win contest. You will be... given your first word, like I said, after 7 o'clock. Very, very exciting. Okay, should communities be allowed to set curfews in order to restrict protests if they say public safety becomes a concern? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Love to hear from you, because if you've been watching the news over the weekend, you've seen this footage coming out of Newark, New Jersey, and it has been just... crazy watching these protesters outside the ICE facilities. Well, Newark has imposed a nightly curfew around the Delaney Hall ICE detention facility. That's after several days of these protests, clashes between demonstrators and the police. Curfew runs from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. and will remain in effect until further notice. The mayor of Newark said that the decision was made because of escalating tensions, multiple arrests, and reports that some people at the protest were found carrying weapons. So Delaney Hall has become the focus of all these demonstrations over allegations of poor conditions inside the detention center. And the clashes is not an overstatement for the footage that we're seeing coming out of there. It is verging on violent.
Yes.
I guess you could, I would say violent, but that it's not a full blown riot, but it is not people just standing quietly.
And not unlike things that we've seen in other cities over the course of the last few months. I think this one has probably got the potential to grow, which is why Newark, as well as New Jersey Governor Mikey Sherrill, is trying to put a stop and kind of quiet things before it gets any worse. But attorneys representing detainees say these tensions have increased because hundreds of the detainees reportedly participated in a hunger strike. They were complaining of spoiled food and the living conditions at Delaney Hall. The Department of Homeland Security disputes that a hunger strike actually occurred, so then you get protesters involved. And actually, New Jersey Governor Mikey Sherrill did address the media yesterday. She discussed the ongoing controversy and months-long concerns surrounding conditions at the Delaney Hall ICE detention facility in Newark. Here's what she had to say.
For months, hundreds of people, members of our communities, including people with no criminal charges against them and who are in this country legally, many married to U.S. citizens, have been held at a private, for-profit detention center in Newark. For months, there have been peaceful protests outside as members of our congressional delegation, families, advocates, and faith leaders have all tried to ensure that those detainees, especially the most vulnerable, have their basic needs met. Due process is followed, and we live up to our values of respecting basic human dignity. Last week, we saw a surge in ICE presence, creating a more dangerous environment on site and threatening people's ability to advocate for their family members. We've seen what has happened with ICE across the country. I won't let that unfold here.
She went on to also say that these recent protests, the clashes with law enforcement, efforts to restore family visitation for detainees and individuals involved in this unrest were connected what she described as quote unquote national extremist groups. And even though she didn't really identify the specific organization, she got a lot of criticism over the weekend, if you've been following the story, because she called in state police. I mean, when these protests started, six people were arrested. She called in state police, basically trying to combat anything potentially ICE is able to do and potentially bringing in any more federal agents is essentially what she's been trying to do in New Jersey.
And while it's inconvenient for people who are not involved with the protest, I understand having to put these curfews into effect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yes, it's summer and it's still light out at 9 o'clock. Well, you know what? It's 9 o'clock on a weeknight. Even on the weekends, if it has to be done, it has to be done. I'm not saying these people should be protesting. I'm saying that if things are getting out of hand, a curfew then might be the way to just calm it down at least overnight, so that maybe cooler heads in the morning will prevail on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Again, go and protest.
Yeah.
Because it is funny that the DHS is claiming that the hunger strike didn't really happen. And yet the other day on the news, both Tom Holman and Mark Wayne Mullen were on all the talk shows talking about how we're giving them food. If they don't want to eat, that's their own fault. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but that was basically the message, as you can imagine, from both Tom Holman and Mark Wayne Mullen. So was it happening or was it not happening? Again, from the administration, we get mixed. To be nice on a Monday, we get mixed messages.
We do get mixed
I don't want to
messages.
Say they're bald-faced lying because it's Monday and it's early. So I won't say that they're all full of poop. But I will say that it's strange that one minute there's no protest, hunger strike, and the next minute, well, we're giving them their food if they want to do it. So,
I mean, what I think is, as we watch this play out, I think what's going to be fascinating about this is this administration is going to continue to push the boundaries at several of these facilities, right? This has been a pattern. It's not happening in a vacuum. We've seen it play out time and time again. Don't you think at some point, just like Sherrill, though, governors are going to get smarter about how they do this? Because if the administration has a blueprint for what they're doing in each of these cities, the sanctuary cities that they like to call them, don't you think the governors start making their own blueprint too to combat what's happening? Sherrill's kind of leading that right now. We're bringing in the state police because I know they're trained to do so. And before you can bring in more federal agents, we're going to get our stuff in hand so that you don't necessarily need to be here, is essentially what she was telling federal agents this weekend. So,
and we saw Tim Walz do it in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I've seen Pritzker do it in Illinois. Yep. They've done it in California where it's like, okay, we've got our own people. This is our jurisdiction. Yeah. Just relax. Maybe pull back your fake army for a little bit.
Right.
And just let everybody stop the cosplay with the ICE agents. Let law enforcement handle it. We've handled these kind of things before. Because every major city has had protests over one thing or another. They know how to do it.
Right.
Hopefully without escalating to the point that the ICE agents are going to escalate things to. We've seen how that goes.
Yeah. Yes. And you notice they took a brief break after Minnesota and after they pulled out agents there. It's been a little bit quieter. Tom Homan has been a little bit quieter. Mark Wayne Mullen
has
been a little...
Yeah, you haven't heard of Tom Homan lately,
it's,
right?
It's been a little quieter since Minnesota. And I don't know. If you're watching what's happening, you either take that as a nice reprieve of what this government has done, or you take it as a... Are they planning for something new? Because
yes,
we talked about that when they pulled out of Minnesota, and that was my biggest fear. If they're pulling out of Minnesota, what does that mean next? That doesn't mean that they're done, right?
We saw it in Northwest Wisconsin,
right after
they pulled out. All of a sudden, raids and things started picking up in those communities, just inside across the state line. So, it's never done with these folks.
No,
and it is. It is funny, though, Tom Homan went from being in front of a camera every day mumbling about something to now you don't really hear about him. And even Mark Wayne has not come out guns a-blazing like Kristi Noem did.
No,
he stayed in the background, too.
Not since he was confirmed. I mean, and I think that's the interesting part. It's kind of like if you have two ICE agents who actually shot and killed somebody in broad daylight, you probably don't want to be in front of the press very often. It's weird how that works. It's weird how there's a backlash from America against this administration, even if people agreed that immigration was out of control. I mean, that was the thing, too, during Minneapolis. There were several Trump voters who also thought that what the administration was doing was getting out of control. So it's kind of weird when there's backlash like that.
Why do they keep asking me these same questions? I don't know, Tom. Maybe because we all saw it.
Right.
See, that's the pesky thing about the 24-hour news cycle is we see just about everything.
Yes.
We have Ring cameras. We have security cameras. We have news cameras. People have their phones.
Mm-hmm.
We see it. So it makes it harder to dodge. It makes it harder to bury. And we are going to keep bringing it up. That's why they're all hiding now.
Yeah.
Like, well, if I don't go in front of the reporters, they can't ask me anything. So it just goes away, right? Isn't that how it works? If you ignore something, it goes away.
Yes. That's
just like anger and resentment. You just bury it down low.
That's right.
Keep pushing it down till one day it explodes.
That's right. Speaking of the immigration policies, we do have some good news here in the state of Wisconsin. If you were following this case, it made headlines late last year. It was a teacher's aide who came to the United States in 2011, and she worked as at a bilingual Milwaukee school. She even had twin daughters who are U.S. citizens. She was married, living her life. ICE came, right? Because she had to go through the formal process of re-upping all of the paperwork. And it turned out that they wanted her deported. And this made headlines across the state. This was one of the biggest cases that in 2025 that was basically at the forefront very early on.
She was here on a trafficking visa.
She
was a victim
yes.
of trafficking yep. victim visa. So you're going to deport her back to where she was a victim of sex crime?
She was going to get deported because of the paperwork and because of her application. So she basically self-deported. And a federal judge ruled that this teacher's aide, Yasina Ruano, can actually return to the U.S. while immigration officials review her trafficking victim's visa application. Now, her case is part of this larger challenge from the Trump administration that removed deportation protections for some people with pending victim-related applications. She was deported to El Salvador after being told she could leave voluntarily or face detention. Her application remains pending. It could take years to resolve. The judge criticized the policy as a, quote, Brian, blind removal approach that allowed deportations before visa claims were reviewed. Now, if approved, this T visa is what she has because of the trafficking, could eventually lead to permanent residency and U.S. citizenship. She hopes, this is the part that gets me, after all of the upheaval in this woman's life, her husband and her daughters went with her to El Salvador. So now the hope is that he'll be able to come back with her to the United States, and there's no complications there.
Wow. Well, that sounds likely. The way things go, I'm sure it'll be even, and with her daughters being citizens anyway, but they don't look like citizens.
Right.
They don't have the, you know, so no, I don't believe it's going to go smoothly for her husband. It's going
probably
to be
not.
Just, they're bound and determined to, instead of working on a system that would be equitable and work for everybody as far as immigration goes, they just want to cleanse the country of anybody who they don't think looks like them or doesn't belong here. His latest is going after Somalians again. And so it's good for her. I'm glad she's getting to come back. She shouldn't have been sent out anyway, but we'll see. All right. Well, if you want to go to the movie theater.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 6:52 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie, you sent this story about AMC theaters, and I have not, I haven't been to a movie in way too long. I'll just say that out loud. But they're launching a new live concert experience, and it allows audiences in movie theaters to watch and interact with performers in real time. So when you hear that, which artist would you like to see do one of these? Because it sounds pretty good. It's not a regular concert film,
right?
You'll be able to see, hear, respond to audiences. The artist will be able to, you know, be piped in so they'll know you're there. And but they know you're there at a regular concert. So,
if there's somebody in particular in this experience you'd like to see, you could call or text us this morning, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. This is actually kind of cool because AMC says that the technology is going to turn local movie theaters into virtual concert venues with this more immersive experience. And it will be shown, these concerts will be shown in about 300 AMC locations in about 89 different markets nationwide. And they're going to actually start these shows this month, later this month. So if you are interested in the music of Bebe Rexha, Paris Hilton, weirdly. I know she does a DJ thing. She's like famous.
Yeah, I know, but how is that?
I don't know.
I'm not paid $75 to the AMC to see Paris Hilton spin the steel wheels.
Maren Morris also on that list. Ticket prices for these range from $40 to $75 depending on the artist and the location. The company says the goal is to offer a concert-like experience at a lower cost than a lot of traditional arena shows. And I think I have two ways of thinking about this, right? There's one part of me that's like, okay, this is kind of cool. I would probably go do this depending on the artist. There's another part of me that's like, how sad? Is this literally where we've gotten in this country with the expense of concerts that this is what we have to do because it's a much cheaper experience for us?
Well, it's a cheaper experience, but it also, you know, there's a lot of shows that you want to see that are sold out or you have to travel too far. They're not coming to your town. You're sitting so far away. Whereas this, but it harkens back to old closed circuit fight coverage, you know, when there used to be boxing matches or wrestling, you'd go to a theater and you'd watch it on closed circuit TV. that's basically what it is. So I'm curious to see what the technology is that makes it seem more interactive. Because right now I'm like, well, the artist is doing a concert. Unless they're doing it just like a one night only for...
Sure.
And it's only for the AMC audiences.
Yeah.
It's not, but they can't make money that way. So I'm...
No.
Aren't they just... live streaming, say Bebe Rexha is playing in Milwaukee.
Right.
You want to see her up, and you live in the North Woods or you live in Madison, mm-hmm. and you couldn't get tickets, whatever. So you just go to your local theater. But is it the same show, or is it independently produced for the theater? That's where I'm a little confused.
And they haven't really given many details on that yet, as far as I can tell. And I've tried to kind of dive into this. AMC is keeping it a little on the down low yet as to what this immersive experience will actually be like. They say, though, that this is an instrumental move in trying to rebuild the entertainment industry since the pandemic, and since our habits have changed so much since the pandemic. Movie theaters are still hurting.
Can we stop with the pandemic?
Well, but at the same time...
But concerts are not.
No.
Concerts are not hurting.
But movie theaters are. And I think it's interesting that AMC is recognizing the fact that nobody goes to theaters, not like they used to, and that people still would rather be at home in a lot of ways, or are now waiting for movies to come to streaming. That could be part of what is happening with the movie industry as well, but I digress on that point.
The movie industry, I mean, if they put out better movies,
yes.
Now you look at these two, just since you brought it up, two independent horror movies over the weekend mm-hmm. were bringing in over $100 million.
Yes.
They knocked out Grogu and
right.
the Mastodon or whatever that Star Wars movie is.
That's because
it's not the Mastodon.
That's because there's like actual plots. I've heard really great things about these movies, even though I would never
right.
see them. Because there's good writing
either,
and good plots, right?
And the point is that if things are out there, people will come to the theaters
yeah.
to see them. People are also, yes, the reason people want to stay home to watch movies is because the movie theaters have made the experience horrible in a lot
yes.
of places. Yes, you put in nice sound systems and comfortable seats, but there's still all the other things that go with going to the movies
yes.
where if I'm watching if I wait 3 weeks or four
yes.
weeks, I can stream it at home
yes.
and do it. So...
And let's be realistic. If you're a family, it's not cheap to go to the movies.
No,
it's not.
No, it is not.
You're better off, especially if you have younger kids, right? Because you're
yep.
up, you're down, you're not seeing much of the movie anyway. Their attention span is short. So if you could do it at home, it's just a much better experience. And you're not spending the type of money that you would be taking the kids to the movie theater, but they're still able to see that movie.
Right.
So I get why young families especially are basically poo-pooing the theaters at this point, because it's not always fun.
It's
hard.
It's
crazy
expensive. And it's
yeah.
hard. And yeah, you're right. And if I'm watching a movie at home, when you have little kids, oh my God.
Pause, potty breaks, popcorn,
yeah,
more drinks.
Right.
We've all been there if you're a parent.
So watching it at home, at least if I, when I had to take Molly to all those kids' movies, I slept through all of them and I still had to pay. So I was paying to take a nap. Where if we had watched them at home, I could have just, she'd have fun. She'd enjoy her movie. I'd be
yeah.
with her and,
yeah.
if she had to go to the bathroom, I didn't have to escort her.
Right.
Where the bathroom is.
No, exactly.
It's right over there.
I think with this movie, though, these live immersive experiences have done right. It's an interesting way to adapt to... It's a realistic alternative.
Yeah.
I think.
No. I think.
Yeah.
I think it might be fun. They are one night only things,
sure.
so they're special events, and it is more reasonable, and it does give access to people around the country who don't have that same access if the artists aren't coming to their town. All right. When we come back, it's the first Text to Win word, and so much more. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.